Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, which is found in our church Bibles on page 839, as well as in your church bulletin. Please stand if you are able as we read from the New Testament. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Please be seated.
Well, thanks for being here today, and a special thanks to the church, and especially Steve and Barb, who have been my wife Cindy and I's friends for a long, long time, and they invited us back here for the second time, which almost never happens. I know that I don't look exactly like a seminary president. I look more like a guy that ought to be out on the beach with a metal detector, but I can't help that, really. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you have done for us. We thank you for your grace, for your kindness, for your love. And we thank you most of all that you are our peace when we face difficulties. We pray that you will be with us now and during this time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I have a confession to make to you, and that is that I didn't go to church last Sunday. Sorry about that, but actually I'm from Fort Lauderdale, so the whole city of Fort Lauderdale, no one went to church. Actually, the whole of South Florida, no one went to church because we were in the midst of hurricane and storm winds and power outages and trees being blown down. And as that was happening, I thought about a really unusual event that had happened many years before. It was on Sunday, August 23rd in 1992. And I was pastor of a very small Baptist church. And the small group of people had met together there that day with one thing on their mind. And it wasn't what I had to say to them. They had met together thinking about Hurricane Andrew, which was on its way at that very moment. It turned out to be the most devastating storm in the history of Florida since 1928. People were killed. Many, many people lost their homes. It was an incredibly difficult and dangerous time. And on that Sunday, before the Monday when the storm came, my church, the people who had gathered together, they wanted to hear a word from God about what it meant to be the church in the midst of a storm. And I had been preaching through the Gospel of Mark at that point, and there was an amazing show of God's providence that on that Sunday, before the storm was to hit, the passage that we had come to was this passage from Mark about Jesus in the midst of the storm. And I came to realize that it's not just those physical storms that we face. You face different kinds of storms. We face spiritual storms and emotional storms and financial storms and familial storms. Some of you know what it's like to get a phone call that says your wife and children have been in an accident, please come to the hospital. Others of you know what it's like to be told, I'm sorry, the company's restructuring. Can you go into your office and clean out? There's nothing to be done. You're finished. Others of you know what it might be like to be spoken to by the doctor to say, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's malignant and there's nothing else that we can do. And these storms come into our church and our lives and our families with all of the force of those great storms that buffeted Texas and Florida. And today, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and realize that it gives us instructions for preparing for storms that come into our lives, for storms that buffet the church, for storms that threaten to tear our family apart. And I want us to realize that every true believer must depend solely upon God during times of storm in their life. That if you depend upon something else, you will ultimately be disappointed. But if you depend upon God, He is the God of the storm. So as we read this passage, I came to see that Mark wanted to teach us at least three things about storms that buffet us, whether they be storms in the church or in our family or in our personal lives. And I want today for us to think a little bit about these three things that God has for us in this passage. The first thing is that storms in our life are certainly providential. One of the very interesting things that you see at the beginning of this passage in verse 35 is that why was it that they were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm? And you see it there. On that day, when evening was come, He said to them, let us go across to the other side. The He is Jesus. The reason that the disciples were out in the midst of a storm was not because they had done anything wrong. It was not because they had not listened carefully to what Jesus had said to them. The reason they were out there in the midst of a storm was specifically because of the fact that they had listened to Jesus. It was specifically because of the fact that they did what Jesus had told them to do. And we need to realize, all of us, that whenever we face storms in our life, we must not inevitably jump to the conclusion that we must have done something wrong. That storms come into our life sometimes because we've done the right thing. And God's providential care, it orders the events in our life. Jesus ordered them, get into the boat and let's go across. He could have stopped that storm. He could have simply said, let's wait until the storm passes and then we'll get into the boat. He could certainly have prayed to His Heavenly Father and said, I don't want us to get into a storm tonight, but He didn't do any of that. He took them into the boat and then immediately right out into the middle of the storm. And I want all of us today to realize that storms in our life are providentially ordered by God. Whether they are physical issues that you might be facing, whether they are family troubles that you might be having, whether they are issues at the church that might be going on, whatever those things are, no matter how difficult they are, the thing that we can all remember is that God ordains every single thing. Every single event in our life has been ordained by God. And you notice that Mark tells us that they got into the boat at evening time. You may not have been in a storm without electricity. It's not that uncommon down in South Florida. And it's a little strange, you know. We forget how dependent we are on electric light until we don't have it. On Friday night, I spoke about humor in the Bible, and I told them about an instance of humor when Moses comes to Pharaoh, and they've had these frogs. Remember the plague of frogs? The frogs were in their oven and in their pots and in their pans and in their bed everywhere. And Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, you tell me when you want to get rid of the frogs, and I'll get rid of them. And interesting enough, Pharaoh says, tomorrow. And you wonder, why do you want to spend one more night with those frogs? for whatever reason, he did. But I can assure you that down in South Florida, those people that don't have air conditioning, if someone came to them and said, tell me when you want electricity, they would not be saying tomorrow. They'd be saying right now, I gotta have air conditioning. I'm going mad. And you imagine that these disciples, they got into this boat. They didn't have any electricity. They didn't have a flashlight. They didn't have any way of seeing anything. And there weren't lights out on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, which is essentially a lake. And they get out into the middle, and the storm comes upon them. And the storms apparently are worse at night because you can't see what's going on. The storms that we've been through in Florida, when it comes at night and you hear these trees crashing down and all kinds of things. A few years ago, there was another hurricane, and it blew a refrigerator, an icebox down the road. It was crazy to see it. Somebody's refrigerator somehow just rolling down the road because of the wind. And at night, when you hear those kind of sounds and you don't have any light or electricity around you, it's a frightening kind of thing. And you can imagine that the disciples got out in the midst of the storm and they were frightened. But they needed to realize very importantly that God had ordained all of those events. And we need to realize that no matter how difficult the storms look, God has ordained them. But there's a second thing that we learn about these storms from this passage. It's not just that storms are certainly providential, but we also learn that storms in our life are seemingly inescapable. That is, that these storms seem almost bigger than they are. The Sea of Galilee is really a lake. If you've been to Israel, you remember, probably you've been there to the Sea of Galilee, and you think this wouldn't be called a sea in the United States. It would be called a puddle. But it's, it's a place, and it's surrounded by mountains. And what happens is the cool air from up in the mountains rushes down, and it meets the warm air at sea level, and it creates this really very, very bad storms, and it causes the sea to become very rough very quickly. And these storms seem inescapable because of their might. You notice in verse 37, it says this great wind kicked up. It's almost like it just happens out of nowhere. They're on the boat, they're getting ready to go across, and all of a sudden this great wind comes out of nowhere. There are three greats in this passage. First of all, there's a great wind, then there's a great fear on the part of the disciples, and then there's a great calm that happens because of Jesus. And that great wind that comes, it seems as if it's this whirlwind. It's almost a storm like we have down in South Florida, where it just comes out of nowhere, and they seem inescapable because of their danger. You know, my father was also born in Florida, and he was told me when he was a boy about being in the 1928 hurricane. And he said, in those days, you didn't have the Weather Channel, and they just saw the sky getting black, and all of a sudden this giant hurricane was there. And he said he saw it blow trains off of tracks. And it was at that time that Lake Okeechobee blew up out of its banks and drowned hundreds of people. And it was that that inescapable danger of just being overtaken by that great storm. And that's the way the disciples felt. If you remember, if you've been to Galilee, or if you've seen pictures, there was a boat discovered from about this time in history, from about the first century. And it's there in a museum beside the Sea of Galilee, and it's not very big. And it looks particularly small when you think about getting, 8 or 10 or 12 men in that boat. And then when you think about getting 8 or 10 or 12 men in that boat, and them going out in the middle of this sea, and the thing just about being swamped. And you can imagine that they are just bailing and bailing and bailing, and as fast as they can bail, waves are coming over the sea, and they're doing everything they can, but it seems like the boat is going to be swamped, and they're going to drown, and this is the way that their life is going to end, that there's nothing that can get them through this storm. They're seemingly inescapable, and I'm sure that we've all faced really serious storms in our own life that are seemingly inescapable. As a pastor, I've faced storms in the church that seemed to me to be inescapable. At the seminary, we've had problems that seemed as if there was no way other than some kind of direct act of God that everything would ever be all right. And yet finally, amazingly enough, God shows up and he teaches us that we can trust him not just when the winds are calm, but we can trust him when we're in the midst of that storm. Storms in our life are certainly providential. Storms in our life are seemingly inescapable, but there's a third thing that God wants to teach us here, and that is that storms in our life are obviously educational. They teach us something very, very critically important. Several things. First of all, we are educated by Christ's actions. Notice what Christ is doing in verse 38. They're all wondering whether they're going to drown or not. They're bailing as fast as they can. And yet in verse 38, he, that is Jesus, was in the stern asleep. Interestingly enough, this is the only story. It occurs in other gospels, but it's the same story. This is the only story in all of the Bible where Jesus sleeps. Now, obviously, Jesus was human. He slept at night just like we did. He was fully God and fully man, and so being fully man, he needed to sleep. And yet, the only time that the Holy Spirit inspires someone to write about Jesus sleeping is here in the midst of a storm. It's reminiscent of a couple of things. It's reminiscent of Jonah, of course, sleeping in a boat. But it's also reminiscent of Psalm 6, where the psalmist reminds us that we can sleep because God doesn't. And that no matter how unbelievable the events look around us, God is still absolutely in control of them. And here we have Jesus. The only time we read about him sleeping, he's sleeping in the midst of a terrible storm. We're not just educated by Christ's actions, we're also educated by Christ's words. You notice what he says. They wake him up, and he gets up, and he rebukes the wind and says, "Peace, be still." These very same words have been used earlier on in the Gospel of Mark to rebuke a demon. There was a demon-possessed man, and Christ goes and he says to the demon, "Peace, be still." He's saying the exact same thing, and he is reminding the disciples that whatever it is that they are afraid of, they really don't need to be afraid of it. It was commonly thought in Second Temple Judaism that the water was a place where there were monsters and demons and ghosts and all kinds of things. I gave a talk at the seminary a couple of months ago on the Bible and the paranormal, ghosts and UFOs in the scripture. And amazingly, a lot of people turned up for it. They said they couldn't believe anybody would talk about such a thing. So I did, and I told them that this belief in ghosts and all these kinds of things, it's not new. There's another passage in which the disciples go out in a boat, and Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray, and then he walks out on the water to get in the boat with them, and the disciples think he's a ghost. They thought that these monsters came out of the sea, and there's this passage you remember in the book of Revelation in a description of the new heaven, and it says there will, in the new earth, there will be no more sea. And you think, well, that's not that great. I'd really like to have a beach to go to. And it's not that there won't be any surfing there. It's that there won't be any monsters. There won't be any of those beasts that come up out of the sea. There won't be any Philistines who live by the sea and try to attack them. All of those kinds of things will be taken away. And Jesus is able to stand up and say, "Peace, be still. We're educated by those words because Jesus is the God above all gods. One of the great themes of the Bible is that there are a variety of spiritual beings. Some of those spiritual beings go around trying to work us evil and work us harm. And yet, the great thing about the God of the Bible is that He is the God above all gods. He is the God who is in control of all of those other beings. And as Martin Luther said, even the devil is God's devil, and he can only do what God allows him to. And the disciples needed to be reminded of that. So we're educated by Christ's actions, we're educated by Christ's words, and then we're educated by Christ's power. Look at what happens. As soon as Jesus says, "Peace, be still," the storm goes away. Just an amazing thing happens. The wind ceased and there was great calm. It happened right away. It was sort of an immediate stop. Only God has the power over the elements. The ghosts don't have the power to stop the storm. And the monsters don't have the power to stop the storm. But Jesus stands up and he immediately stops the storm. It's incredible. We're educated by that because no matter what the storm is that's in our life, all of us can take great comfort in the fact that we worship the God not just of the peace, but we worship the God also of the storm. We worship the God who is God over all things, who is in control over all things. And Jesus, as soon as he says, "Okay, that's enough," immediately the storm stops. And then there's another thing that we're educated by, and that is we're educated by Christ's rebuke. You notice what Jesus says to them in verse 40. "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" One of the great themes of the Gospel of Mark is that the disciples are stupid. That's the theological way of saying it. They're just dumb. And I don't mean that they're any more stupid than I am, but they just seem like time and time and time again Jesus proves to them that he is God, and yet they just don't get it. One of the interesting things that happens in the Gospel of Mark is at the beginning you have the sky split open at Jesus' baptism. The sky splits open and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So at the beginning, they recognize Jesus as God's Son. At the end of the gospel, remember, there are a variety of things that happen. There's an earthquake. The veil is torn open and Josephus says, printed on that veil were the stars. So it's almost as if the sky is splitting open again. And there's a Roman soldier who says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And yet, all in between those two great beginning and end are the disciples constantly forgetting and forgetting and forgetting and forgetting who Jesus is and what he has done. They just can't quite get it. And that's the reason that Christ has to rebuke them. He says, "Still, in spite of all this, you've seen me heal people. You've seen me throw out demons. You've seen me cause lame people to get up and walk. You've seen me do all these things, and yet you're afraid of a little storm? What is wrong with you people?" That's what he's saying. And he says the same thing to us. When we worry and when we face real serious difficulties in our life and we wonder whether God is really going to take care of us or not, I mean, all of us face that. We know what the Bible says, but we still wonder whether or not God has forgotten about us, right? We know that the text says that God looks down on us at all time, that God loves us, that God knows all about us, that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. It's not that impressive in my case, but in others, very impressive. And yet we think maybe God is counting the hairs on some really bushy-headed guy on the other side of the world, and he's forgotten about us in this midst of this storm. But that's not it. He has not forgotten about us. And God wants to remind us today that real peace comes not from our work, not from anything that we have done. It comes only from trusting in the God of the Bible. Years ago, when I was young, about 23, my mother got sick, and we took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, probably the flu. Take her home, and she'll be fine in a few days. And the next day, she called my sister and I, and she said, I'm really sick. This is not just the flu. And we took her back, and they admitted her to the hospital. And then that evening, the doctor gathered my brother and my sisters and I together, and he said, it was a different doctor, he said, what your mother has is hepatitis, and she won't live more than a few more days. And I remember just being, not knowing what to do. It was, at that point in my young life, sort of the biggest storm that I had ever faced, and it seemed like these kind of things were not supposed to happen. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed that the doctor would be wrong and that there would be some kind of a miraculous event and that my mom would get up and be fine. But every time that we went to see her, it became more and more apparent that that was not going to happen. And she had a contagious strain of hepatitis, and so we had to wear these hospital gowns over our clothes every time we went in. And I remember that last time that I went in, she had was under a lot of medication, and she looked at the hospital gown and she said, oh, those fit you so nice, we ought to get them to make your shirts. And I didn't know what to do. And I remember realizing that her strength was failing and that she wasn't going to last much longer, and I just started weeping uncontrollably. And she turned and looked at me and said, Sam, what's the matter with you? And I mean, what do you say? I just wept. And she said, now you just trust God and everything will be all right. Now go on out of here. And that was the last thing that she ever said to me. That's the way that I would like to die. I mean, my mother was the greatest Christian that I have ever known. She really practiced what I preach. And I wish that I could die like that. But more than that, I wish that I could live like that. That I could really have the faith to, in the midst of whatever storm it is, to say, just trust God and everything will be all right. And if I'm honest with you and honest with myself, sometimes that's just not true. But it's not because God has ever failed me. It's not because those words from my mom were not true. They were true. And I'm reminded that in the early church, the drawing, the picture of the church was a boat. And the boat had people on it. It was a small boat. There were a large group of people on it, and it was in the midst of a giant storm. And the boat looked like it was about to be swamped, looked like it was about to sink. But then you look more carefully at the picture, and you see that Jesus is standing at the helm. And so there's nothing to worry about. And I want you, when you face storms in your life, or in your church, or in your family, or in your house, I want you to walk out of here today realizing that the difference is not what we do. The difference is what has already been done. So that every one of us can walk out of here today and trust God in the midst of any storm that comes into our life. Realizing that when the winds howl and the storm surges, we can say, trust God and everything will be all right. We can remember that picture of a boat in the midst of a storm, but most importantly, that picture of Jesus standing at the helm. Today, walk out of here and realize that no matter what happens externally, we worship the God who controls the storm. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful today for what you have done for us. We are so thankful for the way that you have blessed us, and we pray this morning that you will indeed speak to each of our hearts, that you will remind us that our only answer, whether it be the storm of sin or the storm of family problems or the storm of whatever it might be, our only answer is in the Lord of the storm. It is in that Lord's name we pray that you will bless each of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.